So I was almost murdered today in the parking lot of Walmart.
Which one? The Beltline one?
The Irby Street location. Okay. So I was on my way home, had to stop for a few things for the house, and it was raining, as you know, as it is right now. And so I had my hood up, and I was getting out of the car, which was parked very close to the entrance, walking across the crosswalk. And because I had my hood up, I didn't have full
Welcome
peripheral.
To Cinema Chop Shop.
I hear
Watch,
an
shop,
engine,
retrofit.
Like right behind me. And I spin around, and they honk at me. And so I throw my hands up, and I'm like, hey, what the fuck?
Right, right.
And they just kind of look at me and drive off. It was two, like, middle-aged redneck ladies. I think that they might be out for me, though.
Oh, wow.
But this is not a vehicular manslaughter podcast. Welcome to Season 6, Episode 9 of Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are going to happen, so why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
How to Get Ahead in Travertising, a.k.a. National Travjure.
National Travjure is good. I like it. And I'm joined, as always, here in the shot by my co-host and co-producer, Jupiter Ashonding, a.k.a. Shauna Karenina. In addition, we are extremely excited to welcome back to the show, returning guest, Percy McJunkin and the Olympians. Thank you for being here, sir.
Very happy to be here. Thanks for having me again.
So this is what, like your 15th, 16th appearance?
Oh, gosh. At least 5, 6. 30th? I don't know. So.
And so you had something interesting happen to you this week.
Did right? I? Wait, what happened?
You got off with a warning.
Oh, yeah. I got pulled. I was going accidental speeding. I'd just gone from a 45 zone to a 35.
Uh-huh.
I thought I was going about 40-ish.
Yeah.
And I see a cop doing a quick U-turn. I was like, oh, shit. I look down. I'm actually going 47 and a 35.
Oh, shit.
Which
indeed.
Is a little bit fast. He pulls me, takes my info and everything, and ends up letting me off with the warning. So it ended up being good. Having dogs with me. The dogs were very well behaved. And he actually commented on the dogs. So I think the dogs might have helped me out. Because
this
I
is for good my dogs.
Well-behaved dogs. And I just got a warning this time. Although I haven't had a speeding ticket in like over a decade. So
yeah.
I'm sure they look at all of that too. You know,
yeah, so. Yeah, absolutely. And if you haven't had a ticket in that long, you get your points back.
Right.
Which is cool. So. All right. On that note, further description of the show, the tagline at the top says, Watch, Chop, Retrofit. Because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes they're classic films with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts. Quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of remakes and reboots and sequels or that being the only type of movies that Hollywood's willing to produce. It seems like 90% of what we get these days is one of those three things. We're doing this more as an exercise in satire and irony. We try to be funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
All right, well, that will bring us into our first segment, which is movie news, and we're starting it off this week. We do have an RIP, a rest in power to Harriet Frank Jr. He was an Oscar-nominated screenwriter for Hud and also Norma Rae, which is kind of timely since we just did our Paul Newman episode last week. Then we have, and McJunkin, you're going to like this. Study finds that going to the movies is as good for your heart as going to the gym. How many movies did you say you saw this week?
It's like 5 in 8 days, I think.
Yeah,
so.
that's like basically 7 hours in the gym.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the reason we call it a movie marathon.
Yeah. Movie marathon! Next up, Transformers franchise is going to get a revamp. I think it's a nice spin. They're calling it revamp instead of reboot. With two separate films in the works. Oh, MoviePass. Haven't talked about them in a while.
Ding dong dead.
MoviePass is shutting down permanently and liquidating in bankruptcy. It was a pretty faulty business model
it
to begin with.
It was a terrible business model. What I took advantage of.
Oh, you did, fully.
Oh, definitely. So.
Speaking of taking advantage,
but
Cats...
you're going to be like, speaking of deaths.
Cats fans, and we're talking about the new film adaptation of the musical Cats, are willing to watch the movie for 24 hours straight if they can raise $15,000 for charity. What's the deal with that, Sean?
I don't know. It just that was the headline I saw, and it seemed kind of odd.
Wait, have y'all seen Cats yet?
No. It looks like pure nightmare fuel.
It does. So.
This live-action Toy Story 3 remake was made by teens over 8 years using real toys.
And endorsed by Pixar.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it lives on YouTube, and Pixar's like, good on you.
Oh, nice.
Cool deal. So speaking of Pixar, there was another story about them, right?
Yeah, they're offering a free online class on storytelling that you can take right now.
That's pretty cool. What else? Oh, Mel Gibson and Danny Glover are returning for Lethal Weapon 5, hell says yeah. the producer.
They're both too old for this
shit.
But I will totally watch the hell out of that. So.
And then also the Safdie brothers, who recently released Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler, which I do recommend, have been approached to direct a dark Pee Wee Herman movie. So Paul Reubens is on board with this. He's kind of behind it, but the Safdie brothers have been approached. And considering the anxiety-inducing pace and tension in Uncut Gems, I'm very interested to see how this would be approached.
Yeah.
There was one more story that you were mentioning, right, Sean, about deepfakes?
Oh, yeah. It's just a YouTube video that's out there about a guy testing out live in-action deepfake technology.
Okay.
It's a webcam pointing at him, and he's talking to the webcam on one screen, and on the other it's got his face, and he's just clicking these filters, and it's like Leonardo DiCaprio, Will Smith, full facial expressions. And I said, you know, this is the future of film.
Somebody ought to tell him that if he's not careful, his face might stick like that. Yes, sir.
I was going to add to it, and y'all may have covered this previously. I think this was this week. Apparently, they are looking at readapting John Carpenter's The Thing, but the original source material of The Thing on the topic of remakes.
What was the original source material?
The 1950s?
Well, it was based off of a short story on The Thing. I can't remember what it's called offhand.
From Beyond.
Something like that.
Right.
But apparently, I don't know why. You're never going to top John Carpenter's, adaptation. They had the prequel remake in 2010, 2011. And apparently, they're sniffing around revamping that yet again. So.
I gotcha. I think that's a bad decision.
I think it's awful. Just leave it alone.
Leave it alone. And we will ask Dana to get back to us on that, the title of that original source material, the written work. Speaking of Dana, I hear the phone ringing right now, which means that it's time for the Department of Corrections Department with Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
Hello, choppers. The B-movie Sean was thinking of that John Carlin did was called House of Dark Shadows. 1917 was directed by Sam Mendes. George MacKay is the actor who was in both 1917 and Captain Fantastic. Sadly, Patrice O'Neill is dead. He passed from a diabetes-related stroke in 2011. I'm going to give you two some homework. If you haven't heard it, go look up Randy Newman's tune Political Science. It might smart a bit. See you next week.
All right. Thank you, Dana. We appreciate it. And in fact, we are in the big house of Dark Shadows. That will close the doors on this week's edition of the Department of Corrections Department. And that brings us to the theme of the episode. In remembrance of every time he's died on screen, the films of Sean Bean. We're really going to be flicking the bean here in more ways than one. Flick, like a movie flick.
Movie flick, I like that, yeah.
Also, his first and last names are both spelled the same way, except for the first letter. So shouldn't it be Sean Bean? Sean Bean?
Or Sheen Bean?
Or Seen Bean?
Yeah. Seen Bean. He's been seen being badass.
Many times.
His career has spanned from the 80s up until today. He started out in theater, has worked in radio, television, movies. He was born in Sheffield in South Yorkshire. He worked for his father's welding firm before he decided to become an actor. He attended the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in London and appeared in a number of West End stage productions. Went on to, what's that?
We're all wearing beanies in honor.
Oh man,
of Sean
nobody
Bean.
Told me.
Well, no, my head got cold.
And we're cold.
So also went on to a pretty stellar film and television career. Have you seen the series of well, it's a series and a series of movies, Sharps.
Yeah, this is a made-for-TV series of films in England, and apparently this Sharp guy is a historic figure, I would assume.
I don't know for sure.
I don't know anything about him, and maybe Dana does know some of this.
Is it any relationships to the Sharps rifle?
I don't know.
I think that's Sharpie actually Marcus. The title of but one, obviously, of, the, one you know, of the movies is Sharp's Rifle.
Since there are at least five of these films, he doesn't die.
Okay, yeah.
So at least gonna, not yet.
At least in four of them, he doesn't die.
He bucks the trend.
He also, of course, will be known to our listeners from the Lord of the Rings movies. Also, was he in the Hobbit series?
No,
but he was Neddard Stark in Game of Thrones. What else do we need to say about Sean Bean?
Nothing. He's been in so much stuff, and he's a good actor, and you know, he dies a lot.
The impetus behind this episode was the recast of National Treasure. And Sean was like, you know, I'm recasting Sean Bean. Why haven't we ever done an episode about him? Mm-hmm. And I thought about saving it for his birthday. But we just went ahead and did it.
Yeah, just do it. Didn't Sean Bean announce recently that he would no longer consider roles where he dies?
Oh, no.
I saw this. This was like within the last month. Like there was a news that he would not even look at a script if the part was of a character that died because he's just tired of getting killed.
He's so sick of it.
Yeah, so.
There is an entire fan forum, its own dedicated website fan forum about Sean Bean called The Mighty Bean. Which is pretty cool. I discovered that in the past few days preparing for this episode. All right, well, that's going to bring us to our first segment, which is, or our next segment, rather, the Midnight Double Feature. And this is where we go around the panel and we each offer up two films that are featuring or at least related to our subject at hand, this week being Sean Bean. And we talk about why those two movies would be good to show back-to-back. Sound good?
Very good.
All right. As our guest, McJunkin, who are you going to go with or what are you going to go with for your double feature?
Well, for my double feature, pretty quick and easy, I decided on Silent Hill 1 and 2.
Okay.
Silent Hill 1 is a fantastic movie. Probably the best in my book as far as a video game adaptation.
Movie based on a video game, gotcha.
Very creepy, great set designs, creature effects, all that jazz. The sequel is dumpster fire, hot garbage, terrible, just can't even, just like.
Did they change directors?
Actually, the director of the first movie, I don't know his name offhand.
Christopher Gans.
But he worked on Pulp Fiction.
Christoph Gans.
He was involved with Pulp Fiction and some of Tarantino's earlier stuff. But he did not return. I think he went to jail, if I remember correctly. But whoever they got to do the sequel sucked. It's actually funny because Kit Harington from Game of Thrones is also in the sequel. And it just goes to show you the difference a good director can make.
Right.
Because Harrington is terrible in this movie. It's like he has never acted before.
Right.
Honestly, everything about the second one is hot garbage.
Makes you wish it really was a Silent Hill.
Me and my wife were both fans of the first one. Uh-huh. We went and saw the second one in the theater together. And we just sat there just like waiting for it to be over. Yeah. But then we never watched it again, but it seems like it'd be something great, like a bad movie night type of thing. So,
cool.
But if you've never seen the first one, I highly recommend it. So,
speaking of that, I'm going to springboard off of yours because I picked two movies that I have not seen that star Sean Bean, but I would like to see them back to back and just kind of enjoy that double feature. And the first one was Silent Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I picked, it's from 2006. It's got a 31% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was directed by Christoph Gans. His film credits include H.P. Lovecraft's Necronomicon, Brotherhood of the Wolf, and Beauty and the Beast, the 2014 French version of Beauty and the Beast. And then I'm going to pair that with another kind of horror movie with Sean Bean as the main character, and it's The Hitcher from 2007. And it's only got a 20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That was pretty rough.
You've seen it, so you can vouch for that. Directed by Dave Myers. He's mostly done music videos, but he did direct a couple of movies called Foolish and Screm Break, S-C-R-E-M-M Break. Not sure if that's a typo, but it wasn't on my part. It's a remake of the 1986 film, The Hitcher, which had Rutger Hauer and Jennifer Jason Leigh, and also C. Thomas Howell. So I just thought that would be interesting to pair a couple of Sean Bean scary movies.
Yeah, let me correct myself. Roger Avery was the writer of the first Silent Hill. He worked with Tarantino and Pulp Fiction and some of his
earlier. Did he go to jail?
I'm 99% sure. I think it was a vehicular involved thing.
Was it at a Walmart?
I don't think it was at Walmart.
Was he driving a truck?
Was it today? All right, Sean, throw us yours, man.
All right, so as you mentioned, Sean Bean's current most well-known role would be as Ed Stark on Game of Thrones. So I use that as kind of my springboard for my double feature. The first of which is 2001's Fellowship of the Ring, in which Sean Bean plays the character Boromir, which it kind of fits in that whole, you know, hack and slash sensibility that Game of Thrones had as well, because in the original part one of the trilogy, there was a lot of sword fighting and arrows and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But
and by that we mean dick play.
Yeah, totally. But Boromir was skeptical of the hobbits the whole time and jealous and wanted the ring. But by the end, you know, Boromir redeemed himself and stood up for the hobbits and met his Sean Bean untimely end. It's a good flick. If you haven't seen it, see it. If you haven't seen it, why are you even listening to this podcast?
Indeed. And what are you going to pair that with, Sean?
I'm pairing it with 2010's Black Death.
Black Death.
Actually, it's listed as 2010, but most places listed as being released in 2012, which puts it right in line with the release of Game of Thrones. And Black Death is set during the time of the first outbreak of the bubonic plague. And Sean Bean plays the leader of a band of men that are going village to village with their various implements of torture and killing witches.
Oh, I might have seen this.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
I think I've seen like bits of it.
Eddie Redmayne is in this. He plays a priest who, in an effort to get away from his order because they're all dying, he joins up with these guys to because he knows the way to this village that they're going to. And in the process of going to this village, they come across a village that is pagan. And they have not been hit by the bubonic plague. They don't have the Black Death.
Because of magic.
Because of magic, exactly. And it's funny, the reason I bring up Game of Thrones as well in this, the woman who is the leader of this village, which, you know, is kind of an unusual thing for that time, very much resembles the Red Witch Game of Thrones.
Melisandre.
In that she's even wearing a red dress. But, of course, this predates Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So they must have, I don't know if they, anyway.
More like Game of Bones, am I right?
Hey. But Sean Bean's outfit, his costume, looks very much like his Ned Stark costume.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot of visual similarities as well. And in true Sean Bean fashion, he gets quartered in the movie. So, you know, Game of Thrones, you see him lose his head. In this film, you see him lose his arms and legs.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
I was also thinking it'd be hilarious if it was just about the bubonic plague, and he's just playing every single person who
and they
dies.
All die.
And he's just like dying repeatedly, fights for 2 hours.
Women, children,
right, old people.
Hello, I'm not dead.
That would just be like vomiting and dying. You know,
I kind of like that. That'd be a cool twist on being John Malkovich.
It would be very meta.
Yeah, you could being Sean Bean. How many ways can you die?
Bean, Sean Bean.
There you go.
That'll wrap us up on the Midnight Double Feature, I think. And move it into our feature segment, which is the recast. And this is where we take a film that is within the catalog of the subject of the episode, Sean Bean this week, and then we hypothetically recast a few of the main roles with contemporary actors. Actors who are
at the height of their powers.
And the first one that we're going to do is Patriot Games from 1992. It's got a 72% on Rotten Tomatoes. And both of you recently rewatched this. I didn't get a chance to. How does it hold up?
I think it holds up very well.
Very good movie.
And I commented to Travis during the week was, you know, I saw this in college. This was my freshman or sophomore year. And it was the first time you saw like a satellite feed of a ground kill.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was so cool. And I told Travis, you know, this the great thing about Tom Clancy was that he was very well researched in his novels. This is how we do things now.
Yep.
Right. When we do satellite ground kills. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how we got Bin Laden, that's how we got Saddam Hussein. And so, you know, it was kind of neat to see something that I saw so many years ago still have such relevance to how things are done today. So, yeah, it holds up.
Yeah, the other thing, like, it's a very stark 90s movie in that there's no gray area for your villains. They're just assholes.
They're all
through and through. He's like, I gotta kill this woman and child. You know, he's like, no, you really don't. You know, he's like, no, I'm going through this extra motion that's completely unnecessary because I'm a '90s villain.
Even even so much so that the people on his side were like, we need to go do this. No, we're going to do this.
Right. Just like so literally overkill.
So it's directed by Philip Noyce. His some of his movies include Sliver, Sharon Stone's follow-up to Basic Instinct, also The Saint with Val Kilmer, I believe. The Bone Collector, Salt with Angelina Jolie. And then an upcoming movie called Above Suspicion that is a 2019 thriller starring Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones and Jack Houston, who we've talked about before as well. So the basic premise of Patriot Games, when former CIA agent Jack Ryan, played by Harrison Ford, hampers an IRA terrorist. Now we're talking about the Irish Republican Army, not your retirement plan. A IRA terrorist attack in London. He kills one of the terrorists. The dead man's brother, another member of the group named Sean Miller, played by Sean Bean. They really stretched on his name there. It's like, well, he's Irish, so he better be named Sean. He's arrested, but quickly escapes. Vowing revenge against Ryan, Miller travels to the United States, where he forces Ryan's wife, Anne Archer, and his daughter, played by Thora Birch, in her first feature film role, right?
Yep.
Into a car accident that badly injures them. This convinces Ryan to rejoin the CIA in order to track down Miller. Is there anything major that I'm glossing over?
No, I think you're hitting all the big points. Yes.
All right, so Jack Ryan is a fictional character created by Tom Clancy, and he appears in all of Tom Clancy's Ryanverse novels and the movies that are based on those. And those books have consistently been at the top of the bestsellers list on the New York Times bestsellers list. And so the character himself is much larger than life. In the books and the movies, he's been a Marine, a stockbroker, a civilian history professor at the United States Naval Academy, a Central Intelligence Agency agent, a CIA agent, and an analyst, occasional field officer, deputy director, national security advisor, vice president, and then president.
So he's really a Jack Ryan of all trades.
Oh, nice. So here's my trivia question for you guys.
All right.
Five actors have played Jack Ryan.
Alec Baldwin.
Whoa.
Oh, sorry.
Five actors have played Jack Ryan on screen and big screen.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Can you name all five?
I think so. All right. Baldwin, Harrison Ford.
Uh-huh.
Next up is Chris Pine, or is there somebody between them? Uh-huh.
Is Chris Pine one of them?
Yep.
John Krasinski.
Okay, there's one we're missing.
Butchin.
Butchin.
Oh, Al Baldwin.
Peter Griffin himself.
No, Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
Oh, that's right. Sum of All Theories, 2002. Yeah. I knew
it was pretty bad.
And it completely blocked it out. So.
All right, so you guys did pretty well at that, except for the Affleck gaffe. Shall we go ahead and get into recasting?
No, I just call him Butchin.
Butchin, that's his name. All right, so first up, we've got the role of Jack Ryan, played by Harrison Ford, who was 50 at the time, and McJunkin. Who did you pick for that?
I went a little bit younger. I went with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay, interesting.
Is actually my second choice, but I ended up using my first choice for the next round. So not a lot to add to it. I went through actors in the mid-30s age range, which is a little bit younger but than he was in the movie. Of course, what was Ford, 50 then?
Yeah, he was 50 at the time.
So, but yeah, that's what I went with. So.
That's cool. All right. Sean?
I went with someone who's 48 years old, and he's probably going to be really good at going, "Get down!" Because that's all what this movie is about. Get down. He was in Bill Pardee, What was Bill Party?
Not familiar with that.
That's the Democratic Party during the 90s.
I guess. He was in Serenity. He was in Firefly. He was in Castle. Yeah. The Hammer is my penis, yes. Nathan Fillion.
Captain Hammer.
Gotcha.
That's good, dude. That's real good. Because his character on Firefly was a very Han Solo-esque character. That's good. All right. Well, my actor is 49 now. He was in Mad Love. He was in Circle of Friends. He was in The Three Musketeers. He was in Batman and Robin. He was Robin. Ah. It's Chris O'Donnell. Chris O'Donnell. And he's currently on NCIS Los Angeles with
one of those,
Ladies Love Cool James. Right?
Yeah. Also consider the dude from Solo who played the Solo character.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah, that was who on like the nose.
Okay. So next is Kathy Ryan, the wife, played by Ann Archer, who was 45 at the time. And what were you thinking about this one, Chris?
I thought Emily Blunt, which is kind of fitting because she's actually married to the current Jack Ryan.
Kelsey. I love her.
But she's a great actress. I was looking at actresses in that age range, and she immediately popped out to me. And it was after the fact that I was like, oh, yeah, she's married to John Krasinski, who's currently playing Jack Ryan on the Amazon series.
Right. And also the trailer for A Quiet Place 2 dropped today.
No, that's been out for a bit.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. They might have a new one. Okay.
No, a new one. It's a Super Bowl spot.
Oh, okay.
The Super Bowl spot was available online today. And Emily Blunt's in it.
Mm-hmm.
John Krasinski directs it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not in it.
Right. Well, there's a
flashback.
He may show up in a flashback. But actually, someone else that's in that movie, which I wasn't even thinking about, going to be one of my next picks for this movie.
Too. Gotcha. Sean?
All right. I went with an actress who's 44 years old.
Uh-huh.
She's been in a lot of films where she's been not a damsel in distress, but in distress. And she's, I think she'd fit this part, actually. She was in the terrible movie Pixels.
Oh, no.
She was in Gone
Baby. The beer's way better.
The beer is way better. She was in Gone Baby Gone, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. She was also in a film called Patriot's Day,
of
all things. It's Michelle Monaghan.
Monaghan. Michelle Monaghan.
Michelle Monaghan.
Chalamet. All right, cool. My Kathy Ryan is 44 now as well. She was also in Mad Love with Chris O'Donnell. She was in Poison Ivy, but not the Batman character Poison Ivy. She was in Bad Girls, and she was also in Scream. It's Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore and Chris O'Donnell are going to reunite for this remake of Patriot Games. Next up, we've got, speaking of O'Donnells, Kevin O'Donnell. The character Kevin O'Donnell was portrayed by Patrick Bergen, who you pointed out to me, I didn't realize it, is the bad husband in Sleeping with the Enemy.
Yep.
He's so scary in that.
Yes.
And he doesn't have an Irish accent in that, but he does in this. So Patrick Bergen, 41 at the time, playing Kevin O'Donnell. McJunkin?
I picked an Irishman named Colin Farrell.
Okay.
Great actor.
Yeah, he is.
So,
isn't he going to be the Penguin in the new Batman? Isn't he going to be
great? Is probably stretching it, but he's good. So,
isn't he going to be the Penguin in Batman?
That's what they tell me.
Well, Batman. Sean.
All right, I went a lot older for mine. My actor is 58 years old.
What?
But he has a lot of face value, but he is also an incredible actor, and I think he could do this. He's from Glasgow, Scotland. He was in Trainspotting. He was in The Full Monty. He was, ironically, in The World Is Not Enough. A lot of people will know him from Once Upon a Time, the TV series, as Rumpelstiltskin. It's Robert Carlyle.
Wait, how old did you say he was, though?
58.
Okay, I thought you said 70. I was like, 58. That dude got old.
No. Real fast.
Right.
No, Robert Carlyle.
He goes from 0 to 78 real quick. All right, my Kevin O'Donnell is 43 now. This actor is also Irish. He was in 28 Days Later.
Oh, no.
He was in Sunshine.
Oh, no.
He was in Batman Begins. And he's in Peaky Blinders. It's Cillian Murphy.
Good job.
What do you say oh no for? What did he do? Did he do something bad?
That's my next thing. So.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right. Nice. Hey, great minds think alike. I used to get mad when that happened.
Oh, really?
We've done this so much. Now it's just like, oh, cool.
Right. Yeah.
Is that the... We got one more, right?
Right.
Sean Miller. We've got the man of the hour, Sean Miller, played by Sean Bean. Sean Bean was 33 at the time. And your actor for this, Chris?
It would be the same. It would be... God dang, I just forgot his name.
Cillian Murphy.
There you go.
True story, his parents named him Killian Murphy, but he changed it because he didn't want to be associated with that shitty beer.
Yeah. No, I think he'd be great in that role of the overzealous, hateful, you're just going to kill everybody in my path, you know, revenge.
True. All right. Sean, who did you pick for Sean, played by Sean?
I went with an actor who is 39 years old. He'll be 40 this April.
Okay.
He is also from Scotland, and he is in A Princess for Christmas, Island at War, and Young Alexander the Great. But cat ladies will know him as the dreamy guy from Outlander.
Oh,
it's Sam Heughan.
Yeah. Whatever. My lovely wife, Michelle, drink. Has way too big of a crush on him.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who have a crush on him.
All right, well, the character was Irish, but the actor himself is British.
Exactly.
And so I went with a British actor who's 29 now. He was in the second series of Skins. He was in a prison movie called Starred Up. He was in 71. He was also in the Angelina Jolie directed movie Unbroken. It's Jack O'Connell. Jack O'Connell is going to be my Sean Miller. Do you recognize him?
Yeah, he's in Game of Thrones, wasn't he?
No.
No?
No.
I'm confusing him with someone else.
You're confusing him with Podrick. Podrick.
Yeah, he looks a lot like him, doesn't he?
A little bit, yeah, in that picture especially. But yeah, he's a very talented actor.
I liked 71.
Yeah, no, great movie, great movie.
Brutal to watch.
All right, well, what else do we need to say about Patriot Games?
Give it a watch. It's a solid movie. If you haven't seen it in a while, it holds up. If you haven't ever seen it, give it a watch.
Good deal. All right, well, with that, we're going to go ahead and go into intermission, but not before we say...
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves
a big can of baked beans to eat during the rest of the movie.
All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis, and I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under reviewed.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them to do it and multiply.
A Podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show. Don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
All right. Welcome back, Chop Shoppers. Thank you for bearing with us during intermission. And what do we like to do when we come back from intermission, Sean?
Beer check-ins.
And we've got a pretty on-theme beer today.
Sure.
It's Vanilla Bean the Hun, a.k.a. Vanilla the Hun, from Seminar Brewing. That's seminarbrewing.com. And this has been a mainstay at the brewery for quite a while. It's a vanilla porter. Thoughts?
It is the offspring of Craver Peanut Butter Porter.
Yeah.
Due to a peanut butter quality control issue,
yeah,
we switched to vanilla, and it's been popular.
I wouldn't even mention peanut butter porter on the show because people are really mad.
I know,
that.
Man.
I told you about that guy who punched the picture of it in the bathroom and broke the frame.
Yeah, because he was really upset.
All right. Well, while we enjoy this, we're going to get into our 2020 movie marathon. And today, as of this recording, is the 31st day of the year. It's January 31st. I'm on number 34, so I'm a little bit ahead of the game. Not quite as much as last week. Sean, what are you on?
43.
43. Our numbers are inversed.
Yes.
Inverted. And McJunkin, what number are you on?
I have no idea. I've seen like
five this week, though.
It's only 5 and 8 days, but at the theater. But
all right, so the 2020 Movie Marathon is a segment where throughout the calendar year, Sean and I try to watch as many movies as we can, and we check them in on Twitter and Letterboxd with this year, the hashtag 2020 Movie Marathon. And so what's your first check-in for this week going to be, Sean?
All right, so it's the final week on the Criterion Channel for the 70s sci-fi selections.
Nice.
So I really crammed for those. I watched The Omega Man.
Charlton Heston
The one? Charlton Heston, based on the novel I Am Legend.
I Am Legend, okay, yes.
And this, of course, was remade by Will Smith.
There's also two other remakes.
Right.
There's one called Omega, and there's one called I Am Omega.
Right. Well, keeping in mind that Omega Man and I Am Legend are probably the two most prominent.
Indeed.
My review was, is it better than I Am Legend? Not really. Neither match the bar set by the novel. The significance of one of the first on-screen interracial kisses wasn't lost on me, though.
Okay. I also remember that the antagonists, the people that we're supposed to be afraid of in Omega Man are sentient.
They're extremely sentient.
Yes.
And it's really nothing more than dudes wearing powder makeup.
And robes.
And it's really not threatening and not menacing at all.
Not nearly as much
man,
as the
robes are scary as shit.
Depending on the color.
True.
All right, so not a recommend?
No, it's not a recommend.
All right, well, my first check-in for this week is going to be number 30, and that is Little Women. Not to be confused with the culinary documentary Whittle Lemons. Just kidding. Gerwig's take on a familiar story is refreshing. I liked it. It is a who's who of up-and-coming actresses, and they all did a fantastic job.
Sweet.
And Timothy Chalamet's in there.
I need to see it. I've been looking for it.
All right.
My next check-in will be ZPG.
Okay.
Stands for Zero Population Growth.
Okay.
The dystopian future of overpopulation, smog, and food shortage yields an edict of zero population growth where having a baby carries dire consequences. It stars Oliver Reed at his sweaty best.
Oh, good. So it's kind of like the now-defunct China's one-child policy, but except it's a no-child policy.
It would make an excellent double feature with
Children of Men. Nice.
In a different way.
Uh-huh. Next up for me is number 31, and it is an indie horror/thriller that's been on my radar for a little while. Finally was able to watch it. It's called What Keeps You Alive, and it's from 2018, and the premise is that a female married couple named Jackie and Jules arrive at Jackie's family lake house to celebrate their first year of marriage. Jackie immediately starts trying to kill Jules. It's very abrupt and out of nowhere. Happy anniversary. I liked it. It was weird, but it was good.
My last check-in will be Grand Isle.
Okay.
This film was released last year, and it flew beneath everyone's radar for a reason. It stars Nicolas Cage and Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, this is the straight-to-DVD one you were talking about, right?
Yep.
What's this about?
Here's my Twitter review. When Cage isn't the most cartoonish actor in the film, that award goes to Kelsey Grammer doing his worst Fred Thompson impression, you know you're in for a treat. 0% Rotten Tomatoes, well earned.
Wow.
Now, did either one of y'all see Color Out of Space with Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
Did y'all like it?
I liked it.
I think I'm in the minority.
Yeah, you are in the minority. Like
everyone else I talked to and all the reviews have been
I saw a headline today.
Is it great? No. Is it good?
Yeah. Is it Lovecraftian?
Yes. And that's what I like about it.
There's like one scene I like. The outer space vision.
Is it where the wife melts? Yeah. So I saw a headline today that said that it is Nicolas Cage's Shining, and it's also Cage at his most crazy.
Which one? Color Out of Space?
Color Out of Space, really?
Oh, no, not so much.
I mean,
crazy.
I would say that even was it Mom and Dad?
Mom and Dad was good.
I thought that was a far better movie.
He was completely over the top on that
and
one.
And it fit, it worked.
Well, this film, he still brings his caginess. He's still off the chain.
I just thought the movie was so slow in the first half.
But Grand Isle is terrible. It has a TV movie quality to it, and it's just not an enjoyable watch at all. Stay away from this film unless you're, like me, a glutton for punishment.
Right.
Despite all his rage, he's still just
Nicolas Cage.
Getting audited in a cage. my next one is 32. Number 32 is Low Tide. And this is another gem from A24. We're big fans of A24. I think that there's a little bit of confusion out there about exactly what they do. They're not a production company. They're a distribution company.
Correct.
So they buy movies to distribute.
Yep.
Somebody on Letterboxd today was like, I watched this because I'm going to start an A24 binge because I hear they make good things. But they're not actually making the movies. They're just bringing good stuff to us. It's a coming-of-age-slash-crossroads-of-life story of four young men who discover treasure while headed down the wrong path.
Treasure.
And I don't really want to reveal any more than that. There's some twists and turns that are pretty cool.
And this one, again, is called what?
Low Tide. And it's got the older brother from It, not Jacob Tremblay, Bill. But his older brother. Not Bill Skarsgård, but the...
No, the kid, Bill.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes.
I don't know the actor's name.
But the old,
not Georgie, the one that gets killed.
Correct.
But Bill, the older.
I really liked it.
Cool.
Thought it was good.
Speaking of A24, have y'all seen Extraordinary?
Yes.
I love that.
That was so weird.
Like, we watched that on a lark, and it's like me and my wife enjoyed it from beginning to end.
Well, if you like that, you should watch Greener Grass.
Oh, baby. Now you're in my sweet spot.
You got one more?
No, we're done.
All right, that'll wrap us up on the 2020 movie marathon.
Seen anything good that you want to talk about?
Oh, Jojo Rabbit was really good. Yeah. 1917 was great.
I liked it.
Bad Boys 3 liked a lot more than I expected to.
That is surprising to me. But
it's a fun 90s throwback. It's just a fun movie.
The thing that I always enjoyed about the Bad Boys flicks was that Will Smith and Martin Lawrence had great chemistry.
They're really good in this movie. Okay.
As long as that's there,
some of my buddies were talking about seeing it. We'd already seen the previous two movies like 2 days prior. And I was just getting a little burnt out, going to the theater like multiple times a week. And we went and saw like on a Wednesday night, and it was just a lot of fun.
Pure popcorn.
Yeah. I mean, it was what it was. It wasn't trying to be anything else.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Fun movie.
The dynamic between the two of those characters is tried and true, though. You've got the tough guy straight man and the comic relief.
Sure. I figured it'd be like a C level. I'd probably say like B plus. And I don't want to overhype it, but like, I mean, pretty much all the reviews.
Well, it's always refreshing to go into a movie with super low expectations.
Right, just like bare minimum. And get surprised. It ends up being a lot of fun. So
McJunkin's calling it now. Best picture. Bad Boys 3.
Best movie ever. Right. Also, Underwater. That was a lot of fun.
Underwater with Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, they're basically trapped in a underwater vessel. Don't want to say anything to really spoil it, but it kind of got dumped in January. It's actually the last movie under the 20th Century Fox label, and Disney just kind of dumped it. It's like, basically the last movie of their acquisition that hadn't been released, with the exception of New Mutants, which is coming out in April.
But they're going to slap their label on that.
This is the last movie that had the 20th Century Fox.
Right. Brand. I did hear about that, where they took
they're changing to like 20th Century Studios or something like that. So.
Recast continued.
Part two.
The sequel.
Redux
007. We're talking about GoldenEye from 1995. It's got a 78% on Rotten Tomatoes, directed by Martin Campbell, who also directed Casino Royale, not the old school one, but the new one with Daniel Craig. He directed both The Mask of Zorro and The Legend of Zorro. And I forgot that they made two of those. he also directed Vertical Limit and Green Lantern.
Ooh,
so kind of bumpy track record.
It's a mixed bag, baby.
when a powerful satellite system falls into the hands of Alec Trevelyan, a.k.a. 006, a.k.a. Giannis, played by Sean Bean, a former ally turned enemy, only James Bond, played by Pierce Brosnan, can save the world from an awesome space weapon that in one short pulse could destroy the Earth. As Bond and Natalia Simonova, a survivor of the Severnaya attack, square off against his former compatriot, he also battles Trevelyan's stunning ally, Xenia Onatopp, played by Famke Janssen, an assassin who uses pleasure as her ultimate weapon. Pleasure and pain. I think there's a little bit of pain involved, too. You watched this for the first time, Sean.
I watched it for the first time, and boy, oh boy. It doesn't hold up, and that 78% Rotten Tomatoes is suspect.
This is actually a higher rating than Patriot Games.
It should be noted, though, that we've got a stellar cast. In addition, you've got supporting parts from Joe Don Baker, a.k.a. Mitchell, Judy Dench, Robbie Coltrane, Alan Cumming doing his best to do a Russian impression.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
And this was... this was her, Judi Dench, Dame Judi Dench's first turn at M.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yep. Which she played up into the Daniel Craig movies.
Correct. Unfortunately, we are not reviewing the video game.
Because you liked it a lot better?
A lot of people liked that video game a lot.
Actually, it was funny when we were watching it, my wife's like, oh, this is the exact music from the game. And it's like, oh, this exact scene was in the game. I was like, yes, it's based off of this movie.
As opposed to Silent Hill, which was based on a game.
It flipped.
Yeah, we flipped it all around. All right, the roles we're going to recast. We've got James Bond, 007, played by Pierce Brosnan. We've got Natalia Simonova, played by Isabella Skorupko. We've got Xenia Onatopp, played by Famke Janssen. And then we've got Alec Trevelyan, played by Sean Bean. And the first role, McJunkin, who did you pick?
I chose a British dude. You may have heard of him. Henry Cavill plays Superman.
Henry Cavill?
The Witcher, most recently.
Uh-huh.
He was in Mission Impossible Fallout. He was in, what was the Guy Ritchie movie, Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Yep.
I could see him
right on.
Playing 007. So.
Just don't ask him what his mom's name is.
Martha.
Sean, who's your pick for...
Right. My actor is 41 years old.
Okay.
And can be seen in such films as... Oh, not even really films. More like a TV series. Sense8, Law and Order United Kingdom.
Hmm.
Doctor Who. Well, Doctor Who played the role of Martha Jones.
No! What's her name?
Freema Agyeman.
Martha. Oh, yeah, she's great.
All right, cool.
So this is Jane Bond, 007.
Nice, dude.
Martha was great, and the reason I picked her is because in the Doctor Who series, she was the military aspect of that.
I've had like full-blown arguments with like Doctor Who fans at conventions about this.
I think she's great.
Yeah, I mean, she was awesome.
She's my 007.
At Doctor Who conventions?
No, at comic conventions.
Oh, okay.
They're very opinionated fans at cons.
No!
Yes.
Really?
Huh. Well, my actor is 47 now. He's also British. He was in Thor.
Oh, no.
He was in Pacific Rim.
Okay.
He was in Beast of No Nation. He was in Star Trek Beyond. He's in the upcoming Suicide Squad. A lot of people think he should play James Bond, His name is Idris Elba.
Of course. Why not? Do it.
Idris Elba is going to be my 007. Next up, we've got the good Bond girl. In a lot of these formulas, you have a good girl and a bad girl. This actress is Isabella Skorupko, who was 25 at the time, and she's a Swedish actress. Her character survived an earlier attack, and she's kind of an ally to Bond in his attempts to fight Alec Trevelyan. So, McJunkin?
The actress I chose was recently in Midsommar, Little Women.
Yes.
And she's playing the Russian sister of Flo. Black Widow in the upcoming Black Widow movie, Florence Pugh.
Florence Pugh is great, dude. And she looked way different in Midsommar.
I didn't even realize that was the same actress.
Acting!
Yeah. But like, wasn't until I was looking at her filmography that, actually, no, my wife told me, it's like, oh yeah, she was in Midsommar. I was like, that's the same. No, I had no idea that was her. And that was her in the Black Widow movie.
I think that's also her in that Chris Pine movie about Robert the Bruce. I think she's in that.
Was it called?
Is it my turn? No, it's Sean. It's Sean's turn. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go.
Outlaw King.
Outlaw King. Yes.
So my Natalia Simonova.
What?
Is 30 years old.
Simonova.
Simonova.
New Seaman.
30 years old. She is from Kabul, Afghanistan.
Oh.
She is the daughter of an Indian father and a Russian mother. She knows 6 languages. And she played competitive chess and has a black belt.
Chess?
A brown belt, in karate. And she has been in Penguins of Madagascar, Tyrant. She was in The X-Files Reopened. But most people know her from The Americans in the role of Nina. Her name is Annette Mahendru.
Oh, okay.
What
so, was that a Freudian slip that you said she played competitive chess?
You just heard what you wanted to hear.
Yeah,
man.
Sure. It's where you rub them together. All right.
I think she looks a lot like Ashley Judd, by the way, if you're going to draw comparisons.
An Afghani Ashley Judd.
Yeah, she has a lot of very strong similarity to her, in my opinion.
Ashganley Judd. My.
Jugs.
Ashganley Jugs. My Natalia Simonova is 31 now. She is a little bit more well-known than the folks that you guys picked. She's Swedish. She was in Anna Karenina. She was in Ex Machina. She was in Son of a Gun. And she's in Tomb Raider. It's Alicia Vikander. Alicia Vikander is going to be my Natalia Simonova. She's just so gorgeous and talented, and for a Bond girl, we need a little bit of eye candy, right?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. All right, so next up, we've got the femme fatale, right? Femke Jensen playing Xenia on a top, and McJunkin, who was your pick for that?
I went with, the new Harley Quinn movie is about to come out, so I probably had that on the brain, so I chose Margot Robbie. I was thinking she could do that over-the-top, crazy, sexy thing that Famke Jensen was doing and pull that off well. So, and what else has she been in? Wolf of Wall Street?
Yes. She was in I, Tonya.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very good in that. She's in the recent movie Bombshell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
All right, who's your bad girl, Sean?
My bad girl? Well, Famke was, she's Danish, right?
She is Dutch.
Dutch.
Well, what? Freaky deaky Dutch.
Well, my actress is from Denmark. She's 32 as well. She's in Deception, Legends of Tomorrow, The Rebels, and Mr. Robot as Joanna Welick.
Oh.
I've cast her before. Stephanie Cornelius.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big time. I could see it.
You could see her doing
this. You could see her being like a mean dominatrix.
Doing the squeeze. Yeah.
All right, well, my Xenia on a top, I've already got the picture pulled up because my slides were out of order. You're out of order. This whole fucking podcast is out of order. She's 36 now. She's also Dutch. She's in Bros Before Hoes. She's in Blade Runner 2049. She's in The Girl in the Spider's Web. Her name is Sylvia Hoax. Sylvia Hoax. She also, at least in this picture, has a completely shaved head, which I think would be an interesting take on the character.
Sorry, is she the same girl that's in Knives Out?
I don't know. It's possible.
Was she the hologram in...
Yes.
Blade? Okay, all right.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I did not recognize her in that picture you have there.
With the shaved head.
Mm-hmm.
Man of the hour,
Seon Byung.
He was 36 at the time. He played Alec Trevelyan, a.k.a. 006, a.k.a. Giannis. And, McJunkin, who was your actor?
Yeah, you had me worried for a minute, like when you were talking about your 007 pick, because mm-hmm. you let off with it was in Thor.
Yes.
And because my pick here is Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston.
Also in Thor as well, Loki.
Yeah, I also picked Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, really?
For my pick.
Oh, did you know?
Yes, I did. Did you also?
Nope.
Okay, well.
He was also in Kong Island.
Crimson Peak?
Skull Island. Crimson Peak.
High Rise.
Mm-hmm.
Only Lovers Left Alive.
There you go, yep.
And all of the Avengers movies.
All of the Avengers movies, yeah.
Yeah, he's 38 now, and he's
Age of Ultron, I guess.
Is British.
Yep, so.
All right, Sean.
My actor is 37 years old. And he is British, of course, and can be seen in The Crown. He will be in the upcoming Marvel movie Morbius. Hmm. He will be in Last Night in Soho.
Oh,
released this year, and you can see him in Doctor Who. I've never seen him play a villain before, but he had the courtesy of wearing a tuxedo in his IMDb headshot.
Perfect,
Matt Smith.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Interesting. Yeah, man, I could kind of see
that. He did play a villain in Terminator Genesis.
Oh, yes. Also,
you can just skip that movie altogether. Actually, wait, did that role get cut out? I can't remember.
He was a bad guy in...
He was in it. I think they cut that.
This movie with maybe Ryan Gosling in it, like The River of Madness or something. Look up Matt Smith's IMDb. He was a bad guy in that for sure. Right. He had a shaved head and he was like hunting people
down.
Yeah,
I think he actually got cut out of the Terminator Genesis movie.
So you went with Hiddleston as well, eh?
Yeah, Hiddleston for sure. Because I feel like...
I shopped him, I'll be honest.
So everybody says that Idris Elba should be the next Bond. Tom Hiddleston has lobbied to be the next Bond. So I thought it would be great for them to face off against each other in this movie as two 00s.
I like it.
What else do we need to say about GoldenEye? Not as good as the video game.
It hasn't aged well.
I rewatched it myself for the first time in probably 15 years or so, and maybe longer. And watched it with Michelle, who had never seen it. And we were both like, oh, I thought it was going to be done by now.
Yeah, it's really long.
Dude, Matt Smith played Charles Manson in Charlie Says.
That's true.
Right. Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
I've never heard of this.
He did.
So he does play bad guys occasionally.
Yeah, I guess I'll be a bad guy.
I'm on to something.
Also, this Morbius movie looks like trash. I just want to put that out there. So. It'll probably be fun.
Well, he's one of the shittiest comic characters.
Yeah, he's not great.
All right, so that's not a recommend from all around on GoldenEye.
Yeah, don't watch it.
Yeah, dude, like, honestly, I couldn't finish it. It was so cheesy, dude.
That's how I felt. Not the cheesiness part, but I could not finish The Mockingbird. Did you hear about this new movie? It was not a new movie. It was at Sundance last year, but geez Louise.
Lost River, is this the movie?
Lost River, yes. Okay. Lost River.
I've not heard of this one previously.
It's really weird.
Oh, it's got a good cast, though.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's going to bring us to our bonus segment tonight, which is going to be another Battle Royale, this time between the likes of course, Sean Bean, Mr. Bean, and Judge Roy Bean.
Who's Judge Roy Bean?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Judge Roy Bean was an American saloon keeper and justice of the peace in Valverde County, Texas, who called himself, quote, the law west of the Pecos. According to legend, he held court in his saloon along the Rio Grande on a desolate stretch of the Chihuahuan Desert in southwest Texas. Southwest Texas.
Oh, my God.
So it's Sean Bean, Judge Roy Bean.
Sean Bean's going to die
versus
first.
Mr. Bean.
We'll let our guest go first.
Okay.
Because it's Sean Bean. He's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give it to Mr. Bean, man.
Mr. Bean?
He's a
man
of few words.
Yeah.
Silent but deadly.
He makes noises.
Yeah. But I don't know enough about the old dude, you know, the
I'm pretty sure there's a movie about him or maybe a song about him or right. something. But anyway, his name was in my head when I was trying to think of a third bean.
I'm just disappointed you didn't bring along the can of refried beans. Well,
that's what we got in the lobby.
obviously, I agree with you. Sean Bean
I
will...
I mean, look in Mr. Bean's eyes. Well, yeah, that's a stone cold.
Yeah. Sean Bean's going to die. Right. Let's just get that out of the way. He will die before it's over. Mr. Bean could conceivably stumble his way into a victory.
Uh-huh.
However, just based on what you told me, uh-huh. I'm going to have to go with Judge Bean.
Judge Roy Bean. Right. I'm also going with him because that guy sounds like a real character. Yeah. He was a saloon owner who was also a judge who would hold court in the saloon. And later, after his death, his character became a trope in Westerns, the hanging judge. So.
I like it.
That's going to wrap us up for this week, right?
It comes.
And so first, I want to thank you, McJunkin. Thank you for being
pleasure
here.
As always.
What would you like to plug?
Oh, shit. That's a good question.
You see the cool Venomized thing sell?
Yeah. That's a new one. Got sketch cover. I'm working on some Mars Attack sketch cards for their official set coming up. Got some other stuff in the works I can't mention yet.
Okay.
Trying to think of the stuff that's I've been still contributing to some Upper Deck Marvel sketch card sets. Got our new Immortal Stingray from New Haven Comics. Should hopefully be out in the next few months.
And then your website.
JunkDrawerStudio.com and JunkDrawer Studio on Instagram and Chris McJunkin on Facebook. And I think that's about it.
So. Right on. Also, I want to thank the engineer, the co-producer, our host with the most. What would you like to plug this week?
Oh, I'll plug Right Answers with Wrong Travis.
Wrong Travis. Also, this should drop before the big game Sunday, so people who hear this should know that we're going to be having...
Yeah, if you're one of these people who download the minute we drop and listen to it, come out and watch the game with us. We'll have themed food from each of the cities represented.
It's going to be a good time. And it's also not ticketed. You're just going to be...
a la carte, off the menu.
Off the menu, absolutely. Sweet. Also, do you know what next week's episode is?
Yes, we're going to beat the Meatles.
All right, so...
What is that?
It's the Beatles episode.
Oh, okay.
There is a trivia question that I'm going to ask you. There are three different people who have been referred to as the fifth Beatle. Can you name one of them?
Sean Bean.
Is it the guy that Eddie Murphy portrayed in SNL?
No. You've got George Martin, their producer. You've got Stu Sutcliffe, who died of an aneurysm. And then you've got Pete Best.
Pete Best is the one I'm thinking about.
So there's three possible options on that sneak preview.
Have you ever seen the sketch that Eddie Murphy did?
No, what's it? What
it's
is
hilarious.
It?
He played the saxophone
for
the Beatles.
wait, so was this the trivia question related one?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, say it again. Sorry.
Okay.
Just rewind.
Yeah, so there's three people who have been referred to as
the
fifth Beatle.
So you only have to name one of them.
Name one of those three,
Give me that last one again.
Pete Best.
Not to be confused with friend of the show and friend of trivia, Keith Best.
Correct.
All right, well... With that, we are going to plug the podcast itself. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. And we're also hosted natively online. It's Cinema Chop Shop at podbean.com. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. Our Facebook is Cinema Chop Shop. Our Gmail is Cinema Chop Shop. And the beer that we checked in today, we will check that in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. We are Cinema Chop Shop on there as well. Finally, thank you, the listeners, Chop Shoppers. Keep downloading, keep telling your friends about us. And please, remember to
watch Chop Retrofit.
And don't get killed.